We invite your attention tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 47, and our text will be found in verses 8 and 9. While you're turning there in our text, I do want to thank Pastor Dan Gordon and the Home Missionary Baptist Church for the confidence that you placed in me by inviting me to come and share some thoughts with you from the Word of God. It's always a privilege to be at Home Baptist Church. I came here the first time in 1981. I believe that quite a few years ago, maybe 25 years ago, 24 years ago, and I've only missed about three conferences. And it's really good to be back with a homegrown. I appreciate you so very, very, very much. Appreciate this church. You've been so kind to me over the years, and I shall never forget the love and the kindness that has been shown to me in various aspects of my ministry. Now, our text will be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 47, verses 8 and 9. I've enjoyed the conference up to this point, and I must admit that I'm a little nervous right now, and I hope that, as Brother Eugene Clark used to tell me, that I don't let you see me sweat. But I will, I'm sure. Now, when I announce the title of my message tonight, I hope none of you ladies would jump up and say none of your business. But you pray for me as I attempt to preach what God had laid on my heart. In the book of Genesis, chapter 47, verses 8 and 9, "And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days or the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days or the years of my life been, and have not obtained unto the days of the years or the lives of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Our subject tonight is, how old are you? How old are you? Our text introduces us to one of the most striking scenes of Old Testament history. We have before us in our text passage three very distinguished individuals. First of all, there is the king of Egypt. He is a place of high office, a place of respect. And then we have the prime minister, who was raised by extraordinary providences from a slave and a prisoner to that excellent station. Name is Joseph. And we have the devout Jacob, the man who, as a holy prince, had power with men and with God, and who had his name changed to Israel because he prevailed. Now Jacob, or Joseph rather, is introducing his gray and beloved father to Pharaoh, who with friendly condescension and kindness, he thus addresses the old gray-headed saint, "How old art thou? How old art thou?" Now, Lord willing, in this message for this time, we will consider three things from our text. And Lord willing, these will be our outline and our message. And let me give you these three things, and you preacher brethren can make a good one out of it. First of all, we'll consider the question, "How old art thou?" And secondly, we'll consider the reply to the question. And thirdly, we'll look at the lessons that the text suggests to us. Now please let all the saints be praying then that the Almighty God would be pleased then to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher as we study together. First, we want to note the question, "How old art thou?" Is not this a very common question? Of course it's a very common question. And we hear this all the time. How often has it been asked in our hearing of us and from us to others? Today I asked little Lori, how old are you now? And we see some children that we haven't seen. I see a lot of you that were just youngsters the first time I preached here. And it would be a very common question if I should say, how old are you now? And many of us will ask that question of people when we meet them for the first time. We ask the children in Sunday school, how old are you now? You look like you're growing up. How old are you? Are you really that old? Are you really that old, we'll say, and so forth. And so it's a very common question. And when we meet a person, many times, for the first time, we may generally form an ideal of their age, but it's always, most always, incorrect as to the age of that person. We see a person for the first time, and we begin to ponder how long they've lived, how old they are, how young they are, and etc. And many, many times it is wrong because we judge the person's age by what we see and what we perceive in that person. And most of the time it's wrong. And when we meet someone for the first time, we try to get an ideal of how old that they are. We see some people in the military. I remember I was in the military. I was a soldier when I was 16 years old. I was in combat when I was 17 years old. And many times people would misjudge my age. They'd say, you're 27 or you're 28 when I wasn't 21 yet. And so we do that many, many times. Some people look much younger than their age. We meet people who have lived a long time and they've had a good life perhaps and God has been good to them and they've been blessed and they look much younger than their years. And then we take the account of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. And the Bible says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abased. Now, abated, rather. Now, Moses was 120 years old, and his eyesight was really good. I'm only 72, and I can't hardly see the road signs. I have trouble seeing the red lights and the green lights and the yellow lights and so forth. And I probably won't see the smoke back there tonight either. But Moses was 120 years old, and his eyesight was not dim, and his natural forces had not abated. And then there is a very outstanding gentleman in the Old Testament, recorded in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verses 7 through 12, by the name of Caleb. And he had not lost his youth. And I'd like to read that passage in your hearing. And it said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the hearts of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because I have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old now. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thy hearest in the day how the Anakites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now here's a man that's 85 years old, and he had the same strength and the youth and the vitality that he had when he was 40 years old. At 85 years old, he has the same eyesight. He has the same strength. He can do the same job. So various people age differently, and it's very hard to determine what the age might be. Other people, on the other hand, look to age for several reasons: for labor, for sorrows, for constitutional weakness, afflictions, sinful lives, and so forth. I look at some of you, I don't know of any preacher that doesn't have problems. I don't know of any pastor that hasn't had problems with his children. You look at some of these pastors and they got gray hair. Here's a brother that's probably 40 years younger than I. No, he's 30 years younger than I. He looked like an old gray-headed man. And I'm sorry, brother. But I've known him for a long time. I've known him since he was a youngster. And I know his family. And I've prayed many a prayer for him. And he's prayed many a prayer for me. And look at the gray hair on his head. You probably have a troubled time of trying to guess his age. I look at Brother Mark and Sister Ruth, and I know the sorrow that they've had in their lives. And I felt that very sorrow. And it causes us to look much older sometimes than what we really are because of the sorrow that we've had. We have to identify with the Apostle Paul sometimes when he said, in addition to the cares of the world, the cares of the churches are upon me. And it'll put gray hair on your head, and it'll cause some to age very, very quickly. And then there are some who are very, very much aged because of their labor. I remember growing up in Floyd County, Kentucky, and there was a neighbor named Mr. Fitzmosley. He was a section hand, section foreman on the railroad. He worked out in the hot sun all day long, day in and day out. And he looked like antique from the first time that I saw him. From the first time I was a little boy that I laid eyes on Mr. Fitzmosley, I thought he was antique. And that was because of the hard labor. And we could name many, many others. And then we know that there are constitutional weaknesses in the individual themselves. And then we have many other afflictions. And then there are people who look aged and aged and aged because of their sinful lifestyle. My son died at 46 years old. He would often say to me, "Dad, I hope I look as young as you when I'm your age." But he never lived to be that age. He was years older than his 46 years because of drugs, because of alcohol, because of the lifestyle that he lived. And there are many of those who live wicked and sinful lives that never make it to maturity. They die very, very young. Those who are on drugs and alcohol and many, many other things, that they destroy their physical body, they destroy their health, and they become aged before their time. And there are many, many, many other things. So the wicked usually die very, very young. Now the question is interesting. How marvelous is life? How marvelous is life itself? And the wonder is that we live, not that we die. The wonder is that we live at all. We come from our mother's womb not only crying lies, but we come from our mother's womb dying because of the first and second law of thermodynamics. We always go from soundness to rottenness. We're getting rotten all the time. We're decayed. Everything in the universe is decayed. And so when we come from our mother's womb, we begin to die already. We are exposed to diseases. We are exposed to filth. We are exposed to all of the that's in the environment around us. And the wonder is that we even live at all. And then how mysteriously is life subtained? We have the blood, the lungs, the heart, and the brain all working harmoniously together to keep the machinery moving, if you would please, that it might not stop. And then how miraculous that all of these things working harmoniously together. The Bible says we are marvelously made. and that the members of our body are written in a book by the Almighty God, and how wonderful this body is, and just one little thing out of whack can end a life. And so the wonder is that we live at all. We take the blood, for example, that's in the body. The blood has an oxygen-carrying property. I believe it's called hemoglobin. Now, you medical people, don't laugh at me if I don't get that right. And I like to think about the hemoglobin as a train load of tanker cars with pure oxygen. And as the bloodstream passes through the lungs, those tanker cars are filled up with oxygen. And as the blood runs through the system, every once in a while, those tanker cars shoot off a little bit of oxygen, a little bit here and a little bit there, and it takes it to the brain so that our brain can function and so forth. And so the blood works in harmony with the lungs. The lung takes in the air that we breathe. It purifies it. It makes it fit to be loaded on the tank cars. And as the blood passes by and it picks it up, it all goes through the lungs. And then the blood has to have some way to get through the system. It has to have some way to get from our chest down to our legs, to our toes, and all the way up to our brains. And so there has to be some pressure. There has to be a pumping mechanism, if you will. And God Almighty created a wonderful heart, a muscle called a heart. And inside that heart, there are two chambers where the blood comes in and a chamber where the blood goes out. And that old heart just pumps. And the chamber opens and blood fills up. It pumps again and the blood goes out. And the oxygen goes to the brain. And one little thing that's wrong with that system and we're out of here. But God keeps it ticking, you see. Oh, my friends, how marvelous that this human body is. And the machinery just keeps working and keeps working. But the wonder is that we live. The poet said, our life contains 1,000 springs. Besides, the dangers are so numerous. Dangerous stands thick through all the ground to push us up to the tomb, and fierce disease wait around to hurry mortals home. And that's what we face. This body is miraculously made by the Almighty God, and everything that is happening to us is rushing us to the grave. Rushing us to the grave. The question is solemn and momentous. It is connected with a great responsibility. It is connected with great mercies. It's connected with privileges. It's connected with opportunities and gratitude, improvement, and duties demanded. Now think about what I just said for just a little bit. And consider this. And then notice how momentous that life becomes. And think about this. How old are you tonight? How old are you? How old are you? And how old are you? And you think about this. So we wait just a minute. Let this sink in for just a little bit. Let's think about this. We said it was connected with great responsibilities. When I was a little boy, growing up in a coal mining camp in Stevens Branch, Kentucky, up in Floyd County, Kentucky, I didn't have any responsibilities. My mommy woke me up in the morning. My mommy fixed my breakfast. My mommy wiped my nose. My mommy done everything there was for me. I didn't do anything. I just laid around, slept, sucked my thumb, done what other babies do. I didn't have any responsibilities. Daddy worked. Wasn't that nice when you didn't have any responsibility? Not a care in the world. When I got a little bigger, I had to get up and get ready to go to school. I had to cut kindling. You ever cut kindling? I didn't like to go to the woods to get kindling. I tore the fence down most of the time. But I had a responsibility to cut kindling. I got a little older, I had to bring in the coal. Any of you ever have to bring coal in? Had to have something to build a fire with in the morning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I had a responsibility going to get water in at night. I can hear my daddy now. If he got up and the water bucket was empty, he said, if the house caught on fire, the first thing to be burned would be the water bucket. And many morning, my mommy woke me up real early and said, let's go to the well, son. You forgot to get water in last night. Because daddy was, oh, yeah. He was something else. And then when I got a little bigger, more responsibilities. More responsibilities on me. You see. When I went in the Army, they gave me a rifle. I'd keep it clean. Had to learn to shoot. Gave me a steel helmet. Gave me all kinds of equipment I had to take care of. Had to keep my poncho. Had to keep my shoulder half. Had to keep all that equipment. And then one day I got married. Had a wife to take care of. Had children to take care of. Had to work. Couldn't lollygag around all day anymore. Man, I love to lollygag, don't you? So how old are you? What kind of responsibilities do you have? You see, the more responsibility with age, you see. And then the mercies. Our age is connected with mercies. How much mercy has God shown to you? Amen. I'm 36 years old when God saved my unworthy soul. But I think about all the mercies that God extended to me. I think about all the places I was during the war. I think about the places that he could have left me on Heartbreak Ridge, on Porkchop Hill, or in the Punch Bowl. He could have left me there. The many times I sat and heard the gospel preached, he could have killed me and put me in hell. But his mercy called me one time to hear the gospel of my salvation. Yes. And how old are you? It's connected with privileges. How many privileges have we had? The privilege of going to church on Sunday, Sunday school, vacation Bible school. The privilege that we've had to fellowship one with another. The privilege that we've had to be nice to someone. To be an encouragement to someone along the line. I try to pray every day, God make me a blessing to someone today. The opportunities that we've had. The opportunities that we've had to do good. The opportunities that we've had to pray. The opportunities that we've had to approach the throne of grace. To pray for a brother or sister. To pray for a loved one. To witness to someone. As our brother was preaching, talking about his brother just living a few miles away. And the opportunities that we passed up so many times to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this question is solemn and it's momentous. It's connected with all of these things that I'm talking about. And how about the gratitude? The time that we could just sit down and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me see, for letting me look upon the beauty of thy creation. How many times have we ever looked up into the sky and just expressed our gratitude for the Creator? He said he hung the moon and the stars, and he created the moon and the sun, and he created the stars also. For the gratitude that we could show. I'm afraid most of us are old sourpusses, aren't we? We grumble and we mumble. We mumble about this and we mumble about that instead of showing our gratitude. And then, how old are you? It's connected with the improvements. How many improvements have you made in your life? The time that you could have gone to college and you didn't. The time you could have read a good book and you didn't. The time that you could have invested and you didn't. The time that you could have maybe made hay and put it up for the rainy day. You see the opportunity or the improvement that you have. And how about your duties that are demanded? You see, your age is connected with this question, how old are you? It's connected with the duties that have been commanded of each of us. Now, because it is connected with eternity. How old are you? You see, I mean, this question is connected with eternity. How many of you know when you're going to die? How many of you know whether you're old enough to die or not? Young people die. Babies die. Teenagers die. Old people die. But this question is connected with eternity. And the cradle rocks us to our tomb. As I said earlier, we come from a mother's womb dying. You see. And whatever we do, wherever we be, we're traveling to the grave. Yea, and to eternity. The grave is not the end of it. There is a life after death. After physical death, there is life. And so we must ask this question, how old are you? The poet said, lo, on a narrow neck of land, twixt the unbound seas I stand. There we are on just a very narrow neck of land, between two unbounded seas. There is an eternity in hell, or there is an eternity on the hills of glory. I'd rather choose the hills of glory.
Amen.
And how old are you? Have you made preparations for that boundless sea into which you're going to go, either into hell or into glory? To go to hell, you don't have to do nothing. Just flow with the, go with the flow. You see? So this is connected. To elderly persons, how affecting this should be to you that are elderly here tonight. The morning and the afternoon, the spring and the summer are gone, and the evening and the autumn are passing away. You know, our lives just like the four seasons. There's the spring, summer, the autumn, and the winter. And in the autumn, those leaves hanging on those trees, they begin to fall one by one. One by one. And sometimes you see a long leaf. Sometimes I walk out in front of our property at the church on Big Creek Road, and right across the road, I have a beautiful sycamore tree. I meditate there a lot, thinking about Zacchaeus. But I watch the leaves on that tree in autumn. They start to fall. Some of them are just barely hanging on. And that's the way our lives are. Spring is gone. Summer's gone. We're in the last days of autumn. The Bible says summer is gone and the harvest is past, and we're not yet saved. Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
How old are you? How old are you? You see. Secondly, we want to note, in reference to the question, the answer given. I want you to notice the age specified. When he asked Jacob how old he was, he said 130 years. 130 years. To us today, that's a very extended age, isn't it? And yet it was short when contrasted with his predecessors. His father, Isaac, lived to be 180 years old. His grandfather lived to be 175. And his great-granddaddy lived to be 205 years old. And many of the people on the other side of the flood approached 800 and 900 years. And yet 130 to us appears very long. In the time of Moses, the great majority did not survive 70 in the time of Moses. Moses was 120. And now a generation is computed to be about 35 years. I heard some preacher say today, I believe it was Brother Bob Keller, he said he wasn't middle-aged anymore. He's not a young preacher. He's not a really old preacher, but he's not a middle-aged preacher anymore. Time goes on, doesn't it? Now, these are statistics well worthy of our consideration. We ought to stop and think just a little bit. How old am I? How long have I lived? What have I done? Have I discharged my responsibilities? Have I taken advantage of the mercies of God? Have I taken advantage of the opportunity to improve and so forth and so on? Now, Jacob represented his years as being few. He said he was 130 years old. But he represented it as being few. And there is a most marked difference in past time and the future time. There is a most marked difference in past time and future time. When I was 16, I thought 21 was 1,000 years away. Did any of y'all feel that way? Man, I thought I'd never get old enough to get drunk and do what the big boys did. You know? And now I'm almost 73, and it seems only as yesterday I was 16. How short a period is a year in the retrospective? You know, I thought I would never get old enough to vote. I can remember it clear tonight, 1981, Brother Don Titus and I walking the streets of Pomona, California, about 1 o'clock in the morning. I can remember the words of wisdom that Don Titus spoke to me, just as clear as if it was yesterday. You know, you look out there and you say, "What? My birthday is never going to come." Seems like yesterday, 1980. Brother Don Titus walking down the highway that goes through Pomona. He said to me, "Every time you go to the pulpit to preach, you'll draw on the experience of last week and the week before and the week before." And that has turned out to be true. I can remember some things today during the Korean War, it seemed like it was only yesterday that they happened. I see those pictures of dead Americans so clear in my mind that was fighting. I see those Marines that were so close to getting home, dying along a frozen road. And if it was only yesterday. It seemed only yesterday I brought my firstborn home from a hospital in Nuremberg, Germany. Held him so tenderly. You ask the age, and they all agree that a long life is as nothing. One may say it's only as yesterday. Another may say it's just a dream. And some may even say it's a mere vapor. And that's what the scripture calls it. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14. "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." It vanisheth away. How old are you? Jacob described his years as being evil. That is, years of sorrow and afflictions. And Jacob's were so in many, many cases. His own private anxieties. He was exiled when he was a youth. He was a servant for 20 years to his uncle. He worked 7 years for the wrong woman. Had to do it all over again. He had much domestic trouble. There stands the tomb of his beloved Rachel. And then Joseph, in the opinion of Jacob, he had been slain. His sons were renegades. Some of them were cruel, and most of them ungodly. I think back over my life and the nights that I walked the floor wondering where my son was, not knowing whether he was dead or alive. It took its toll on me. I look back over my life and I remember when my daughter was rebellious. For over a year, I didn't know if she was dead or alive. No word. No letter. No phone call. Jacob had those problems. It takes its toll on you. In his old age, he was exposed to adversities through famine. There was a famine in the land. Anytime you can't feed your family, it'll put age on you. And you'll consider it as evil years. He was a man who had seen trouble He had had fears within and fighting without. And this is a fair sample of human life, and most of you know it. Life is a wilderness. It's a rough sea. It's a perilous desert. How old are you? If you haven't had trouble with your children, hang on, you're going to. Get ready. If you haven't had sorrow, get ready. You will. I want to tell you something, folks. If you're here tonight, and you're a mommy and a daddy, and your child is on the pew beside of you and saved by the grace of God and serving the Lord, you ought to shout with joy. Amen. And you ought to praise the Almighty God to the utmost. Amen. You ought to thank Him for His mercies. Amen. You ought to thank Him for His kindness. Amen. You ought to thank Him for His grace that saved your children and your grandchildren. Amen. If you don't believe that man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble, just read the Bible. Amen. In the book of Job, the Bible says man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He described the whole life as a pilgrim. He was just traveling through this world. That's the way his father's was, and that's the way he was. I want you to notice the phrase in our text where it says, the days or the years, in Genesis chapter 47, verses 9. I like this form of speech. He says, the days of the years. We should not forget, and we should stop to think right now, that our years are formed of days. 365 days in every year that you live. And today is the only day that you have. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note, and today is the only day that you have to take advantage of the opportunities and thank God for His mercy and to serve the true and the living God. Amen. We should not forget that our years are formed of days, one day at a time, one day at a time. I think about past conferences and I think about the good fellowship that I had with Brother Eugene Clark, oh Brother Clark. I think about Brother Harry Healy and other great preachers that have gone on. I think about the distinguished Don Titus, as I've always called him, the distinguished Don Titus. Because that's what he's always been to me. I'll never have the distinction that Don Titus has of pastoring one church for 38 plus years. I'll never have that. I'm too old. I'm already in my 70s. If I'd pastor another 30 years where I'm at, I'll be 100 and something. I'll be almost as old as Jacob was. I don't think I'll make it. But praise God, I've got today. Amen. And I can do whatever God gives me to do today by His grace. He will supply my needs. He will strengthen me. And He will not do me anything that I can't do. Amen. By the grace of God. I don't know if I'm making sense to you or not. How old are you? You may not accomplish a lot of things, but you've got today. Amen. Have you been good to someone today? Have you kissed your wife today? Have you told your wife that you love her? Tomorrow might be too late. Men and women are getting a divorce. And the woman said, all I want him to do is tell me he loved me. He said, I did. The lawyer said, when? He said, 20 years ago. Not good enough. What about today? Today's the day. Today. So we should pray, Lord, teach us to number our days. Altogether, it is just a pilgrimage. Ever-changing. Continuous progressive. Continuous progressive. Not at home in the body. We're strangers and pilgrims, sojourning, looking for a city. Amen. And thus the saints have always felt, and they confessed, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. Angels beckon me from heaven's open doors. Amen. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Right. Yes.
How old are you? How old are you? And then, last, we want to note the lessons which our text suggests. I can't see that clock. I can't see my watch. Ain't no need of looking at it. First of all, what are the lessons suggested by this text? First of all, let us form a true estimate of life. What is your life? How old are you, Brad? No, don't ask. I know you told me already. What have you accomplished? How old are you, Brother Dan? You see? It doesn't make any difference how old you are, how young you are. You know, you have the same number of hours in a day that everybody else does. And your life is just like everybody else's. It's just a vapor. You know, one of these days, old Brother Hancock going to pass from the scene. And I hope some young preacher will say, well, I remember what old Brother Hancock said, you know, like I say about old Brother Clark or something. Maybe they'll remember something. Maybe some of you youngsters will remember something that I said. I hope you do. I hope I've been a blessing to you. But my life is short. In all human estimation, my life is just about over. My wife and I were just recently married, March the 26th. We're not even going to celebrate our annual anniversary. We're doing it every week. And I'm already a three anniversary present behind. But, you know, we should form a true estimate of life. Instead of it's just a vapor. It appears for a little while and it fades away. It's short and sorrowful. In this world you shall have trials and tribulations. Yes. There's a difference in the word shall and will. Will has the desire, has to do with the desire. When somebody says, I will have a good day, that means they desire to have a good day. But I don't do that. Some people tell me, said, have a good day. I said, I shall. That guarantees it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I shall have a good day. Why? Because God blessed me abundantly.
Amen.
Above measure.
Amen.
I'll hurry. Okay. Jesus said, in this world you'd have trial and tribulation. And let us settle this in our mind. We shall then treat the world as such and expect such treatment from it. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Yeah.
It's just a short time that I'm here. I'm going to do what God would have me to do to the best of my ability. I may not have an opportunity tomorrow. And etc. And let us ascertain if the great ends of life are accomplished by us, the ends for which we should live. Have you accomplished anything in life? What have you accomplished in life? You know, there's a lot of things I wanted to do. I wanted to have a motorcycle, and I did, and that thing rode me instead of me riding it. I used to go home from Fort Benning, Georgia, a little town called Casita, Georgia. They'd hear me and my motorcycle coming. Everybody in town gathered around to see that thing throw me. I didn't accomplish much. I did learn to fly an airplane, and I thank God for that. I might fly again someday. Literally.
Amen.
But what I want to ask you tonight, have you accomplished anything in life? Have you accomplished what God intended for you to accomplish? You see, that's the important question. That's the important question. You see, the ends in which we should live. First of all, for ourselves. Are you old enough to be saved? Somebody said, what's the age of account? I don't know. I don't even know. I didn't know there was an age of accountability.
Right.
Everybody comes from mother's womb, accountable, crying, lying, sinners,
right,
and so forth.
Right.
But are you old enough to respond to the gospel? Have you ever responded to the gospel? Have you accomplished anything for yourself? Are you sure of your salvation? That's an important question tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
to secure our own salvation, our spiritual improvement? And what about the things for God? To glorify Him? To show forth our love and our gratitude? That's what God made us for. Man was the crown of God's creation. Do you bring glory to God in everything you do? The Bible says whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God. Amen. Somebody talked about the judgment seat of Christ. I fear to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. So many of my works are going to be burned up. They're going to be on the ash heap. And I'm sure there are going to be some tears there. The tears are not wiped away until a long time after that. There'll be tears in heaven, and you can rest assured of that. I'm afraid more of us will be doing more crying than we will be rejoicing at the judgment seat of Christ. And for the good of others, what have you accomplished for your family? These are important questions I'm asking tonight. You husbands tonight, if your wife should suddenly die, you got any plans? You wives, if your husband should suddenly die, do you know how to take care of things? You going to die and leave a mess for somebody? Have you accomplished anything for your family? Does your family ever get together and pray? Have you ever accomplished anything for your family? I know that I'm repeating. And how about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. What have you done for your church?